Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. So let me ask you this question. Are you willing to take risks and support yourself and your family like never before? Because today's special guest, renowned speaker, life coach, and author Haley Hobson, offers you the way to do this in her book, Get It Done, Moving Away from Mainstream Mediocrity to Live an Exciting and Fulfilling Life. Sounds like an amazing promise, and this book will help motivate you to make it come true. In her book, Get It Done, Haley Hobson teaches you the secret that lies between a holistic heart and passion with an attitude. Each chapter points out areas of life that can be chaotic and then gives you the secret to overcoming the noise. Haley's journey started with knowing there was something more for her in life. It started on the cusp of intention, and she teaches that by consciously monitoring our thoughts, we are in control of the results we are looking for in our personal or business lives. Haley Hobson is an internationally known author and inspirational speaker. As a life coach, she passionately empowers others to create lifestyle transformation by supporting them in becoming the best possible whole version of themselves. So, it's exciting. So, let me bring her on and we can get started. Good morning, Haley. How are you? Haley? Good morning,
Haley. Can you
Haley.
Hear me?
Now
hey,
I can.
How are you? Great.
I'm good.
How are you
I'm
doing?
Good, yeah. I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So the book is called Get It Done, 31 Ways to Release Your Inner Boss. When you say that, when you say your inner boss, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, what I really mean is that every single one of us has the ability to manifest really what we want in our life. And many, many people believe that they are set or victim, I should say, to their own circumstances and that they don't have a choice in what is happening to them, right? So maybe they were born in a certain city or with certain parents or with a certain financial background, or maybe they went to school or didn't go to school or started a certain job or married a person. These are just simply circumstances, and we have the ability to change our thoughts about our circumstances and really get the result that we want in our life. We're all born, so to speak, with this entire suitcase of tools, yet many people forget to open up the suitcase when they walk out into the world, and they believe that they are, like I said, victim to their circumstances. So when we change that mindset and we actually understand that nothing happens to us, but we make everything happen for us, then we can release that inner boss and act in a certain way that will drive the result that we want in our life.
That's excellent. What a great message. How did you come to all this? I mean, listen, most of us who come to understand this about ourselves and others have had a hard way getting there. It hasn't been easy. So what is your story? I mean, how did you get to all this?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's such a long story, right? It's the story of my life. But, I mean, this
right.
is what I think happened. You know, we're raised in a certain way, and we have models as behavior models, like whether it's our parents or whether it's other relatives or friends or teachers, and we're taught to sort of follow directions. And I think back when I was growing up, I don't know that we had as much, we weren't taught to follow our intuition as much as we were taught to follow like a set of rules. So although my parents, I love them to death, and, you know, we have a great family life, and they're both still married, and literally getting together with them next week and all of my family for Thanksgiving, I still think that they, you know, they did their best by showing me what they thought the next steps should be for me, right? So it was like I was following this manual, this, like, set of directions, and yet I never really found my own true happiness in it. And it took me a long time because so many of us are subconsciously following life, right? We have these subconscious thoughts that we're not even aware of, and we don't know how to tap into them. And it probably took me like 20 plus years to figure out that the way that I reacted to things or the way that I felt emotionally to things was a result of the way that my brain was behaving. And when I could really tap in and understand my thought process and decide whether it was working for me or not, I should say whether it was serving me or not, I could decide at that point to either change my belief systems or change my thought and therefore change my emotions. So for me personally, like to get into like, you know, what happened to Haley and how did she grow up? You know, I was like that overachiever, straight-A student, also high school, went to a great college, you know, almost Ivy League college, went to law school, straight-A student all the way through, became a lawyer, and then woke up one day and decided like, I'm not living the life that I want to live. Like, this isn't the career that I wanted. I'm artistic, I'm creative, I'm intuitive, and I am really into health and wellness. And I want to be in a life where I am serving people in a completely different way. And so back then I made choices, and they were probably subconscious, to leave my career. You know, I was making six figures a year to walk away and leave a six-figure income to go into the health and wellness industry. But even then, I wasn't super tapped in. And I found myself again, you know, working in jobs that were not fulfilling until I continued to do work on myself over and over and over again and figure out, you know, what did I want? What did I want to do? What were the thoughts that I was having? How could I live the life that I was dreaming about? And now I finally feel like I have it.
You know, your story or your explanation of coming up this way and coming to this realization is so many of us have that feeling that we've achieved a certain level of something, we've lived a certain way, and we find out it's not really who we are. And I find that people generally don't give themselves permission to be who they are or to take a step back or to make a change or whatever, because often I'll say, you know, you don't have to do that anymore, and you can have days off, and you can relax, and you can do – I can? That's what I hear. I say, yes, I give you permission to do that. You can be who you
are. Well,
you
know what's interesting, Randy? You know what's interesting is that we also evolve as human beings, and who I am today – is not even who I was last year. And
true.
So, you know, there's this, you know, this school of thought ages ago where, you know, you go to school and you get a job and you get a career and that's who you are. And it's really not, because we're evolving as human beings at such a high intensity these days, with our world being so technical and industrial and, you know, just so high level. So this is like the third career, in a sense, that I'm having. And I even noticed the way that my career, you know, I went from lawyer, right, to then Pilates teacher, yoga teacher. Now I've got an online essential oil business. I'm a life coach. But even the way that I'm conducting my business these days, and who I'm targeting and who I want to work with, is different today than it was last year. And we have to give ourselves not only permission to be who we are, but we have to give ourselves permission to change and continue to up-level ourselves and evolve.
Wow, that's such a good point. You are so right. And you used a word when you were talking initially about intuition. To me, if we learn at a young age to trust our intuition, we pretty much have the world in our hands, because we have to be able to count on this unfailing truth teller, you know. Everything comes down to intuition, because we do know, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. We have feelings in our body all the time. We're just not listening to them. We might feel scared. We might feel fear sitting in our belly. We might feel anxiety. We might feel overwhelmed. We might feel excitement. And we're just not taught to listen and feel those emotions.
Right. So, and another thing you were talking about is, you know, you didn't use the word, but I know you use it in your book, the word, the scripts that we, you know, that we have, that we are following without realizing that we are following them. So let's talk about, you know, the thoughts that run through our heads that really are not ours or relevant to what we're doing.
Yeah, totally. So I'm not sure exactly what the question is, but I just think what you're asking me is that, you know, is why are we acting a certain way every single day? Like, why do we get up and do the things that we do? So many of us are programmed, what I say, to react, right? And reacting can be like, I'm going to set my alarm for 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to go get my coffee. I'm oblivious to what's going on around me while I'm there, because I'm on my phone, and then I drive to work and I sit at a job all day. I'm oblivious to what's going on outside around my little cubicle, and I come home and I feed my kids and I go to bed. And we're just in reactive mode all the time, right?
Right.
As opposed to like asking ourselves, what is going on in our surroundings right now? What are we feeling when we look at things? What are we, you know, what kind of eye contact is going on between us and the other humans around us? Is there any connection? Is there any need to speak to somebody? Is there any emotion that's going on? What do we feel in the pit of our belly? You know what's really interesting? I don't know if you know this, but our gut is really, they say, our primary brain. And you can actually scrape the lining of your colon, of your intestines, and you can get a neurological reading of what's going on, the interaction, the neuroactivity that's going on in your brain. And
really?
It's fascinating. And yet we are so not paying attention to that, right? And we're dumping like crappy food into our system, and we're crappy, you know, we're dumping chemicals into our body, and we're breathing chemicals around us. And we're, you know, if we were really, you know, one of the things that I had to do to sort of start to see a lot more clearly is I had to like clean out my body so that brain could think. And that brain could find what I call the white space around me. You know how on your calendar you have different appointments all day and you've got different things going on, and sometimes your calendar looks really packed and you look at it in the morning and you're like, oh my God, I don't even have time to pee, right?
Right.
What I like to look at on my calendars, I like to find like those spaces of what I call white space. But that space, those places of white space where there's time to not just react, but to drive that creativity. We also need that white space everywhere. We need that white space in our belly too, right? So you want to be able to feed your body like really good food and nutrition so that it is thinking the way that it needs to think emotionally. And we can't tap into that gut, that primary brain, so they're calling it, maybe you're calling it a secondary brain, but we can't tap into it if it's clogged, if it's not filtered, if it's like a chimney that's all stopped up, that's never been cleaned. So when you are feeding yourself, you know, good, proper nutrition, because we know that food is fuel, I hope we know it, and we're allowing our body to go through natural detox and cleansing all the time, then we have that white space all around our aura, and then we can actually tap into our emotions on a much deeper level, and we can connect with the universe, I'm going to say. I know this sounds like super, like, you know, artsy-fartsy, right?
Which no, I talk about,
right?
That all,
like,
the time, so no. My listeners,
okay,
are used to that.
Okay, good. Because, like, when I first started, like, hearing about this stuff, I was in my 20s, and I grew up in the East Coast, and I was born in New York City, I went to school in Boston, I lived in Philadelphia, and, like, you know, the I don't know, the people around me, like, my parents, their generation, it was just, like, we didn't think like this. And then I moved to L.A., and I started going into, like, Whole Foods. This is before Whole Foods, of course, but Whole Foods stores. And I was like, there's nothing to eat here. What is this food in here? But I started, you know, opening up to, like, my brain started opening up to a higher level of consciousness about all of this stuff. You know, the food that we're putting in our body, the aura around us, our spirituality, the contact, the why things are happening, you know, for a reason in our life. Like, I look at every single thing that happens in my world, let's say to me, right? And it's, thank God, it's for me, right? Whether it might seem negative at the time, but for a reason, to teach me a lesson. But I can't tap into that if the chimney is clogged, right?
Wow, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm in total agreement with everything that you're saying. I think that's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I've been a vegetarian since I was 19 years old, and that's a lot of years. But, I remember when I made the decision. I remember when I made the decision and I went into a health food store, because there were no Whole Foods back then, and I'm thinking, what do I eat now? It was weird,
right.
You know, because there was no path before me. So how important is goal setting in all of this?
Well, goal setting is really important, because if you're not setting goals, it's like you're walking around blindfolded. And then again, everything's going to happen to you rather than you having control over it, and you're not going to be able to make conscious choices in your life. I want to go back just one second for a minute, if you don't mind, to, you know, what I was talking about before, because there's this theme that's going on in our world right now, and it's called, the name of it is called stress. And people are walking around in massive overwhelm, at least that's what they're claiming, and massive stress. And people are literally dying of stress-related dis-ease these days, instead of, you know, the things that they used to, you know, get ill from in the past, like different viruses or diseases. And the thing that amazes me is that we actually have control over the stress, and that we have the ability to not be stressed. And I'm a person, by the way, who was on anti-anxiety medications by the time I was 22, okay? And antidepressants by the time I was 22. So I'm not somebody who's just talking up my butt here. I understand stress. I understand what it feels like to be massively uncomfortable and to feel massive anxiety in my body. But I have not taken medications in years and years and years. And I learned, it took me a long time, but I learned that we have the ability to control the way that we're thinking, and the way that we are thinking is what causes that anxiety and that overwhelm. Overwhelm and anxiety is a choice. Now, of course, there's you know, neurological imbalances and stuff like that, and I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the basic stress that's going on in people's lives. Like, I have too many things to do, or, you know, there's too much on my plate, or my kids are driving me crazy, or there's no food in the house, or, oh my gosh, I woke up and there's no food in the house, and there's no gas in my car, and I'm late for a deadline, and I didn't finish this, and I have 17,000 messages in my inbox. That kind of stress, right?
Oh,
and
that would drive me crazy. I couldn't live like that.
Right, but a lot of people do live like that. And I'll tell you something, I live like that. I mean, I remember waking up one day just a little while ago, taking my daughter, I had to take her out to camp in the morning. This was the late summer. And I woke up and I realized that I had no food in the house to pack her lunch, and no food in the house to even pack her. I was just so busy working the day before, it didn't even occur to me to go grocery shopping, right? So, like, things happen. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm the worst mom in the world. It's at like 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm running to the grocery store and taking her with me and getting her breakfast and packing her lunch so that I can take her off. But the thing is what I was trying to get to is that we have the ability, and I always have 20,000 messages that are coming at me every single day, but we have the ability to think about it differently so that we can control the overwhelm and the stress. And we can choose thoughts like, I get a lot of messages, or lots of people want to talk to me, or my inbox is full, but I don't need to get to every single one of them right now, or I can go to the grocery store at 7 o'clock in the morning and I can make lunch happen before school starts. Like, we can choose different thoughts rather than, I am a bad mother, or I should have packed lunch the night before, or, oh my gosh, I have nothing to give my kid, right? And that will allow us to, you know, our bodies to calm down a little bit, because, like, let's face it, with all the technology that's going and the, you know, the iPhones and the iPods and the iPads and the computers and the TV and the, it's just a lot. It's a lot. And this is a different world than we were living in even 10 years ago. So the type of stress that's coming into our body is at a whole new level these days. And it's almost like we don't know how to deal with it because it's new.
You're right.
Right?
You're right.
So
you're right. You're right. And at the same time that we're also evolving.
Right. Right. So what I talk about in my book, Get It Done, is not only like, hey, you have control to take action and get the result that you want, but you also have to figure out how to stop the thought download that's making you crazy. Because I'll just use myself as an example. I have a lot going on. Travel half my life. I live between two homes in California and Boulder. I've got two kids, a pet, a husband. I'm running a seven-figure business. I have a lot going on, but I'm not stressed. I'm not stressed because I am finding the thoughts and also the white space, and I'm using, you know, extra things. Let's call it like nutritional supplements, essential oils, you know, my massage chair, whatever it is, a five-minute power nap, you know, a five-minute meditation, you know, finding more empty space on my calendar to calm down, real food, to calm down the nervous system. And it's something that our world has to get on top of fast, because we thought stress was arising 10 years ago. But, you know, what I'm seeing even in my kids these days, it's not good. It's not good. We've got to combat it. And we've got to change our mindset, and we do have the power of thought to not only rock it out and build amazing lives and businesses, but also to friggin' calm down.
Yeah, so well said. You're right on with that, and I don't think we take the time to really think about that because, yeah, things change, and we just kind of move along with it without really looking back and saying, wow, look how things have changed. And so you really pointed that out well. And yeah, so can we talk about goals and where
yeah,
that fits
absolutely.
In? Okay.
Yeah, so like I was saying
so
before.
It's important.
If you don't have goals, then you are allowing life to happen to you, right? And I guess that's the question I have for people is, like, are they happy just kind of, like, being an actor on the own screen of their life called, you know, the movie called their life? Or do they want to take control? And do you want to set daily, monthly, quarterly, annual, you know, goals for yourself so that you are getting done what you want to get done, that you're seeing the things that you want to see, that you're providing the things for your family that you want to provide, that you're experiencing what you want to experience in life.
And yeah, and going back to like what you said, so if we're overwhelmed and we see our goal or our responsibilities as this great big thing, we've got this to do and that to do and this, what's the best way to do that? Do we just break it down and say, my goal is to accomplish this and just take it apart in small pieces?
Absolutely. There's no other way to do it, but you have to actually break down every single piece of, you know, result that you want to get. And you have to backtrack and you have to ask yourself, what are all the things that need to happen in order for this to finalize, to materialize? So let me just use something simple like,
you know, in my business, I do like a lot of webinars. Okay. So if I want to have a webinar and I want to have that webinar go live, let's just say on December 15th and it's November 15th, let's just say I've got a month to do it, then, which is probably enough time, but I have to go back and go, when am I going to announce it? Okay. Well, am I going to need a slide deck? Am I going to need a script in the slide deck? Am I going to need images in the slide deck? Okay, I'm going to assign myself a date to develop that PowerPoint deck with those images. I'm going to assign myself a date that I'm announcing the webinar. Where am I announcing it? Am I going to put a post up on social media? Am I going to announce it in my newsletter list? Am I going to do a Facebook Live? All that's got to be in my calendar. Then, is there going to be a registration page for the date that's announced? Did I create that? Am I going to be collecting email addresses? I hope so, right? So that I can then follow up and give people a thank you for registering email. Is that going to be written? By when? Are they going to get a, you know, 24 hours before the webinar reminder? Are they going to get a 12-hour before the webinar reminder? Are they going to get a 1-hour before the webinar reminder? Are they going to get a 15-minute before the webinar reminder? Are they going to go, oh, webinar is going live? I mean, you know, you don't have to do
right.
all of this, but these are all the steps, right? Are they going to get a
right.
thank you for attending? Are they going to get a sorry you missed it, would you like to register for the replay, right? So every single thing that I want to have happen from that webinar going live has to be written down. It has to be put in a timeline. It has to be calendared, and it has to be, I assign it to myself. Okay, I put it in my calendar, I block out the time, and then I assign it to myself. And what I mean by that is I actually use like a task management system called Asana. There's lots of different ones out there. But I assign myself a task with a deadline, and I get a reminder to do it, and everything is broken down in there. And then I block it out on my calendar. If it's going to take me, you know, 1 hour to write 24 hours to the webinar, 12 hours before the webinar, 1 hour before the webinar, that 1 hour of writing those emails is in my calendar. Does that make sense? So
yes,
this is
amazing.
This is a simple task, right? And then that webinar might be a smaller task to some bigger task of, you know, getting my email list to X amount of people by the beginning of the year, right? So, and then, you know, getting my email list to this X amount of people by a bigger year might be another smaller task in another bigger task. So you have to, you know, start with like, what is your big goal? Is my big goal to have on my mailing list? Is my big goal to make $100,000 by the end of the year? If I want to make $100,000 by the end of the year, I need to be selling a certain amount of products, right? Whatever it is that I'm selling, my books, my tickets to my events, my own online courses, my essential oil products. And then I have to break down, well, what am I going to do to get that word out there that I'm selling those products, and how many launches I'm going to have, and how many tickets do I want to sell at each event? You know, that's what I do in my business. Like, I'm having an event, you know, speaking about events this December, and I decided how many people I wanted to attend. I did the math on what I wanted the ticket price to be so that their income would be a certain amount, right? And then I decided, how do I want to market that event? Do I want to do email marketing, social media marketing, you know, Facebook bot messenger marketing, and all of that?
Are you there? Are you still there? Did I lose you? Haley?
My phone just dropped
out okay.
for a second, but I'm here.
Oh, wait, we lost you. Okay.
So what I was saying last to you was that for me, I have to decide, you know, like for an event, how many tickets I want to sell, what I want to charge, what's the revenue that I want to make at all the different ways that I'm going to market that thing with all the different pieces that are going to be out there. Like I said, email marketing, content marketing, social media marketing, Facebook Lives, et cetera. And then when something falls apart and doesn't give me the result that it wants, that I want, which by the way will happen, so just anticipate it, then you jump in and you do a new, you know, a new pathway, a new journey to be able to recorrect.
And, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking to myself, so many of us hold all these thoughts in our head, and it is very stress-producing to know you have to do all these things. But when you make a list, when you write it down, when you write down everything, that's got to relieve you so much of the stress of what's about, you know, what you need to do and what's coming and when it's coming. So I can see how that would be an amazing stress reliever or avoidance.
Well, for me,
actually, avoidance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody gets stressed at different things. You know, for me, my husband doesn't calendar anything. It doesn't seem to make him stressed. For me, I feel more calm with organization. So when my house is organized, when my calendar is organized, when my task management system is organized, then I'm just, and I've consciously created what I want to do. I'm not just saying somebody put a whole bunch of things on my calendar, I'm acting like a robot. I've created what I want to do, right? And then once I've consciously, with my own intuition and my own creativity, created the schedule that I want for myself, then what happens is the white space appears. Because now it's organized, it's set, I follow the directions I've given myself, and my brain doesn't have to go on an overdrive.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you're successful. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how much you put into your schedule. And, you know, I'm in awe. I think that's great. So let's change the subject a little bit and talk about the effect that partnerships have in our life and in our ability to organize it and the stress that may come from it. So how do we make our relationships work when we have so much going on? How do you fit that in? Well, obviously you schedule it, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a person who, I'm not going to lie, I mean, I have struggled in my marriage, have at different periods of our marriage for a long time. And the way that we make it work, the way that we continue to stay committed and make it work, is we try as hard as we can to communicate well and with respect and love. And I think that what happens to a lot of people is they get really busy and then they get on autopilot and they're not carving out the tenderness that they need. And they're also possibly putting too many expectations on somebody else. And we run into trouble when we behave a certain way, right? So if, for instance, I expect my husband to be available to talk to me whenever I walk out of my office and want to talk to him, I'm probably going to be disappointed because he's not at my beck and call, right? If I expect him to walk in the house and, you know, take his shoes off, I might be disappointed because he's going to forget. If I expect him to, you know, clean up the sink every single time he shaves, I'm going to be disappointed because he's not going to do it, right? So if we can let go of the expectations and the rules that we have for other people, that's going to be one way of keeping a tenderness in the relationship. And then it's just, again, examining, and I do this all the time with myself, and I talk to my husband about us both doing it with each other, is I talk about taking a breath before we speak to each other, like, because we are going to be in reactive mode when we're busy. So what is he asking me? What is he saying to me? What am I choosing to make it mean? Being in reactive mode, can I consciously put a thought, you know, in my brain that's going to allow me to have that respect and love for him? And look, it's a work in progress, Randy. Like, you know, none of us are probably perfect at this, and especially busy human beings. And I'm not saying that, I mean, it would be great if we like scheduled a date night every single week. We don't. I travel a lot. This week we had like a sort of a typical week in our relationship where I flew to our San Diego home, you know, 2 weeks ago, spent 5 days there without him doing a project. He flew in for 4 days with me with our daughter, and I took my daughter home, and he stayed for an extra 3 days. So we were, you know, in and out of each other's lives the last 2 weeks. It's impossible for us to just decide, like, every Friday night we're going to go out with each other. But what we can decide to do is listen to each other with respect. Not choose to make things mean what we're typically making them mean. You know, like if he walks in the house and doesn't take off his shoes, I have a choice of deciding that he's not respecting me and doesn't care about me, or I have a choice of deciding that he just forgot to take off his shoes. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yes. No, I do. I know exactly what you mean. And it is a choice. And I've been married for 30 years. And I've learned a lot along the way. I think we both have. So, yes, we have to make lots of choices and monitor the way, you know. In the beginning, I remember the first year of the marriage being very reactive. And then after a while, you just realize these aren't important things to point out or argue over. Just let it go, you know, let it go.
I think the problem with us is that we are very different people than when we were when we got married. And, you know, a lot of times I've heard in the past, like, you have to make compromises. He has to compromise this and you have to compromise this. And I believe it, but I don't believe it. I believe that if you really love somebody and you respect them, you have to allow them to be them. And if they don't want to go home for Christmas, or they don't want to go home for Thanksgiving, or they don't want to, you know, show up at this dinner with you, like, why are you going to choose to write the rule book for your marriage based on somebody else's rule book? You know,
exactly.
Like, why can't you just with love allow your spouse or your partner to live their life their way? Because when they're operating in their highest potential, when they are being their best selves, that's the person that you're in love with, right? It's not the person that you're making do something because you think that there's a rule that they should do it. So, I mean, that's the place that he and I have come from, is, you know, just really trying to permit the other person to follow their passion and be who they are and encourage evolvement.
Yes. Yes. I noticed in my husband when I first met him that he was somebody that would be progressive, that as I changed, because I changed a lot, I keep evolving really quickly. He somehow kept up with me. He's not me. He is completely different, but he's kept up with me. But I let him do the things he likes to do that I don't like to do. I'm like, go, have a good time, you know?
Right.
So we only have a few minutes left, but I wanted, since next week is Thanksgiving, I really wanted to take a few minutes and talk about gratitude. So how important, you know, I'm going to let you say it because, I mean, I know how I feel, but how important is gratitude in everything we do?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the message that we are telling our brain and putting out to the universe is the abundance, basically, that we get back. So if we are going to sit here and nitpick and be miserable and point out and acknowledge and reference every little thing that's going wrong in our life, that's the energy that we're going to be getting back. If we are able to give gratitude or have gratitude for all of the little things that are happening in spite of, or, you know, the maybe things that don't feel so good, then more awesomeness is going to happen to us. You know, for me, I can give gratitude every single day. I was thinking about this last night, like how awesome it is that I wake up every single day and I feel good, you know, that I don't have an illness, that I'm not sick, that my children are healthy, that they're beautiful, that I'm sitting here talking to you, looking at these amazing mountains at the foothills of Boulder, that I have, you know, two homes that I can travel back and forth between, that both my parents are alive, that my body is operating on such a high functioning level, that I do have the creativity that I have, that I feel inspired, that I feel motivated. You know, I have to give thanks every single day for all of those things that are happening in my life and remember that anything that feels like a pain in the butt that's happening to me is happening for me so I can continue to evolve and become that next higher level of person that can then teach somebody else from my experience.
Thank you. Thank you. I agree with you. I give gratitude all day long. I'm always saying thank you for the littlest things, you know. So, you know, if it looks like, you know, I could have avoided an accident, I just say thank you. I always connect with that part of whatever it is, the universe, or I always give gratitude. So before we end the show, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say where your book can be purchased and how you can be contacted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So I have a website, and I'm sure anybody who's listening who heads over there will have a lot of fun over there. I've got a ton of great content. I've got my own podcast. My website is HayleyHobson.com, and that's spelled HayleyHobson. So the traditional way that we used to spell Hayley. And I've got a podcast over there, the Whole You Podcast. I've got a blog over there. You can get my book right from my shop page, or you can go ahead and Google my name on Amazon. And, yeah, I think you'll have a lot of fun on my Instagram account, Hayley Hobson, and then on my Facebook account, Hayley Hobson Whole You, if you're a Facebook lover.
Thank you. And so your book is called Get It Done, 31 Ways to Release Your Inner Boss. I just wanted to reiterate that so that if someone is searching for you on Amazon and they're not on your website, at least they would know what to search for. So anyway, well, you know, all I can say is amen, sister, because because I love everything that you said.
Thank you.
I agree with everything that you said. And there's so much, and I learned from you today, so which is part of the reason I do this show, because I learned so much. It gives me an opportunity to hear different perspectives, and that's so important. It broadens us. But was there a message that you wanted to share really quickly before we stop?
Yeah, sure. I'll close the podcast today with just reminding you that you can the life and business of your dreams. But in order to do that, you do have to find the white space and decide to be conscious. And that means getting off the autopilot of your life and stop following somebody else's book of directions for yourself and allowing yourself to dream and deciding what it is that you need to turn your dreams into a reality.
Thank you. Excellent way to end the show. Well, I have to thank you so much for, not I have to, but I want to. I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. I'm glad we finally connected. And I wish you great success and great happiness and great peace in your life.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. So we are out of time today, but I want to wish everyone a very, very happy Thanksgiving if you're listening from America. Our Thanksgiving is next Thursday, and it's a time where families get together and we honor gratitude. So I wish you all joy, serenity, and peace, and I'll see you in a week. Take care. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.